trust that you are enjoying the spring warm-up. You know, Jesse came, you know, everybody always says, well, the robins are here, so we must have, it must be springtime. Well, you know, I've been in tree stands before, and I've seen robins in the middle of the winter. And I'm like, okay, that's just one that forgot to get with the rest of the group and go south. However, when the buzzards show up, spring is here. And I saw two this morning on my way in. Jesse saw some yesterday. So we welcomed spring in by going mudding with the four-wheelers. It was a fun time. 15 minutes before dinner, the boys come back. Joshua just changed. He said, Mom said dinner's in 15 minutes. And I said, well, what's that? How's that going to help us? We're getting ready to go get real dirty. And I said, tell you what, let's just go see how we can get into our little area where we ride. And we got over there, and wouldn't you know it, my four-wheeler got hung up on the creek bank. So there I'm sitting stuck. The boys, they went around me and tried to pull me out. We couldn't get out, so Joshua just pushed me back, and I tried to hit it again. When I did, the four-wheeler decided to ride the bank. And so in the process, to keep from going over, I jumped down into the creek and ran with it until it came up out of the ditch. And by that time, I was wet up to my waist. And then we went back in for dinner. But let me tell you how cold those clothes were when I came back out and put them on. But needless to say, we had a ball. About an hour and a half, 2 hours later, we came in covered in mud. I only rolled the four-wheeler one time on its side into the creek. Something about them stupid trees, they just don't like to move when you hit their roots. But good time. Anyhow, as I stated earlier, we are going to talk this morning about prayer. Most of us have heard about prayer, haven't we? People talk to us about prayer. As a matter of fact, I've heard teachings that said that if you didn't pray at least 1 hour a day, you are a sinner. The only thing I can do for 1 hour a day and keep my focus on is sleep. Okay, I'm a little attention deficit. I like to, So I'm glad there's all kinds of people all around so I don't have to stare at just one person, because otherwise I'd be looking at empty seats. But, and you can ask my wife, this is true, I have a hard time focusing sometimes. So to sit in a closet, and that's, there was even people that taught, you have to have a closet, go clean out your clothes closet. I'm like, seriously? Do you know what's in my closet? No, I don't. That's the problem. I don't know what's in my closet. I got the funny feeling that when we redo the bedroom closet upstairs, I'm going to find some stuff that's been missing for a year, ever since we moved in. But Jesus taught us a real simple pattern to pray. Turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 6. Most of you, if you're familiar with the word, you know what this is. We're going to start in verse 5. So Jesus is teaching, and he says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. Now remember, the word hypocrite means an actor. That's the best word to describe a hypocrite. Not somebody who's struggling to get over an addiction, but somebody who's pretending to be a Christian. Okay? The word hypocrite literally meant an actor. Just like Arnold Schwarzenegger being a Green Beret. I got news for you. Here's a news flash. Everybody, I always have to think back to this Beetle Bailey cartoon I saw years ago. And it shows this guy walking past the offices of the army there. And it has this poster of this big, big, burly army guy. He's just camouflaged up, looks mean and everything. And this civilian is walking by the window and looks in, and there he sits at a typewriter. And then he looks out across the field, and here comes little skinny old Beetle Bailey running with his weapon above his head and his bayonet fixed in training. Who was the actor? The guy who's pretending to be tough. So some of the things that we think that people are hypocrites in, they're really not hypocrites. They are trying. So you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Now back then it was customary. People would stand up in various places and they would pray. And they would get long-winded. And they would pray eloquent prayers. Then they'd stand on the street corners and they would pray. And Jesus called these people hypocrites. The world likes to throw that just back at a Christian, period. They don't use it for themselves. They use it for Christians. And so Jesus is saying, don't be like them. Don't pray big prayers to draw attention to yourself. And here's where people get the whole closet thing. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. In other words, prayer is a personal thing. My hat's off to you if you have had the time to sit down with your family and create a prayer time. It's an ideological, did I say the word right? That word that she just said. It's a good idea. There we go. It's a good idea, but in the world we live in, most of us, from the moment our feet hit the ground, we're running. We're busy. Our minds are going in four different places at any given time. So many things that we're thinking about. And so Jesus is saying, take the time. Go someplace where you can pray. Now for me, there's places I've learned that are my favorite place to pray. And that's my workshop. Well, Pastor, why do you got... Because my hands are busy, therefore my mind can focus. By the way, I found out Doc Barclay likes to do the same thing. But I can hear from God. I can pray. Do you know how many times I've been sitting and God says, pray for this person? Anyhow, so when we pray, we're supposed to take that time and go before the Lord. But I don't know how many of you remember as a kid, or maybe even as a young Christian, because my parents got saved when I was little, and so I learned a lot of this as a child. Don't pray for your own request. Pray for somebody else's. That gets God's attention. I know we're supposed to share each other's burdens, but do you know that's not scriptural? It's not. I'm going to show you something right now that if you've got that ingrained in your head that you shouldn't ask God for things, then somebody taught you wrong. They did you a disservice. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask. He knows you need a new car before you ask. He knows you need a new house. He knows you need a new job. He knows you need some new clothes. He knows you need new shoes. He knows you need tires on that car. He knows this before you ask. So therefore, what should you do? Ask. Because he did teach us that if you don't ask, you don't receive. Because if you don't ask and you go get something that you did not ask for, you are now stealing. See, if you come into my shop and you just decide you need to use my miter saw and you take it without asking me, we're going to have a serious problem. But if you come and you've asked and I have granted permission to take it, then you're not a thief and you have what you need. But here, I want to read something about this vain repetitions. Vain repetition refers not to repeating a request, okay? But it doesn't mean that every 5 minutes we're bombarding the gates of heaven because we think that that's the way to pray. We're going to bombard the gates of heaven with prayers for this. Can I tell you, I'd rather have one faith-filled prayer than 10 million people praying and don't believe. One. Uno. One prayer. The Bible says the faithful prayers of a righteous man, singular, or woman, avail much. So I would rather have that faithful, righteous person praying one prayer than all of you put together not believing. Okay? It's not referring to a repeating a request, but to an empty babbling and long prayers that confuse meaningless verbosity with piety. Anybody ever been subject to one of those prayers? I have. See, when I bless my food, I thank God for it. Sometimes I'll thank Him for the day, and if it's in the morning, I might even pray that God blesses the work of our hands and such. But I don't do that every day. Because I try not to, no. As I say, I try not to have to work hard every day, but... But I'm there to bless my food. I'm there to thank God for my food and to receive it. Not to cast out demons out of my food, because there's no demons in my food. Yeah, we got, you know, those harmful things. The Bible says you can eat if you're those harmful things. You can drink those harmful things. It's not saying we should. Let me throw this back at you. So many people, I'm just going to go drink the water. Well, I will testify to the fact that if they tell you as an American, don't drink the water, don't drink the water. When I was in the Philippines, I got a mouthful of water and the alarm went off in my head, what I had in my mouth. I spit the water out. 20 minutes later, spent an hour in the bathroom. Yeah, probably say out in South America too. Do not drink the water. We were not to drink anything with ice cubes in it, and I'll tell you what, it came out of the river. Well, in the river, they do their laundry, and the open sewers run right into the river. So it was wonderful water, and it was not a figment of my imagination, because it will mess you up. Well, you drank a harmful thing, and it didn't hurt you. I don't know, that's not what I was thinking at the time. I'm thinking, Lord, I will never do that again. You don't need to go drinking antifreeze. By way of contrast, Jesus teaches focused prayer, which acknowledges God's needed reign in every facet of life and society. In other words, focus your prayer on that. We're blessing the food. Let's bless the food. You want to bless the hands that prepared your meal? Feel free to do it. But let's not take the time to pray for the government and the world leaders at that time. Pray against ISIS, whatever, whoever you think you're doing, whatever you're doing. That's not the time. That's the time to thank God for your food. We've always said, I've trained my boys, and I rotate. A lot of families, the head of the house prays all the time. And I kind of went at it a little different. I trained my sons, and I would have them pray. And so from time to time, I ask one of them to pray. Justin is our shortest prayer. If we are starving, Jesus, thank you for this food. Amen. That is his prayer. So if ever I get long-winded before a get-together here, just ask Justin to come up and pray. We'll be done in a split second. The only thing is that boy, he prays short. We're all thankful for it because the food's still hot, but he just sits there and plays with his food. One of these days we'll get him to actually eat it. So Jesus is telling us, do not be like hypocrites. Do not be like actors. So Jesus told us then to go ahead and ask for the things that we have need of. God already knows you need it. You need to ask. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven. It's identifying which Father you're talking to. You can say, dear Lord, dear God, my Heavenly Father, my gracious Heavenly Father. I don't care. That is not the point. So many people think that praying the Lord's Prayer is prayer. Jesus said, in this manner, this is a pattern for us in which to pray. He broke it down simple. And yes, it does flow off poetic. And I have no problems repeating it in the last thing. But I have always believed that prayer should be personal. So what? Do you know how many? Well, I was watching a show last night. And this guy is just babbling off in Hebrew. And the guy looks over to him, next to him, and says, what was that? He says, that's the prayer for bread. He says, why? He said, because we don't have a prayer for falling out of the sky. If they don't have a canned prayer, they can't pray. Go to the Christian bookstore. See what I'm talking about. There are books of prayers. Every wedding book, every book on ceremonies, there's a canned prayer. I don't care who it is. They can the prayer. And me personally, I think, where's the personalization? Where's the relationship there? If all I ever did, and I'll be honest with you. Now, when it comes to finding birthday cards and Valentine's cards or anniversary cards and stuff, when I find what I'm looking for, I'm done. Now, my wife, bless her heart, she likes to make sure. So she looks at 10 more. Any guys know what I'm talking about? I walk in, that says what I want it to say, so I buy it. But even then, I feel the need to write something. Because, so what? You can sign your name to it, and you may mean those words, but by you personalizing it, tells that person, I actually thought of this. And these mean what I meant to say. So I believe our prayer should as well. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now he comes in to God's throne room, praising him, honoring him. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now here, he starts talking about something. God's will. Establishing God's will on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, nothing happens that is not God's will. Okay? So Jesus is teaching us to pray according to God's will. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that because we know, we don't always know God's will, do we? I knew somewhere along the line 20 some years ago that God wanted me to marry. God wanted me to have a job. I did not know his full will. And therefore, I usually found myself praying wrong. There are times that we need to season our prayers with your will be done in this. Even the Apostle Paul said, there are times we don't know how to pray. But the Holy Spirit in you knows how to pray. And that is the whole point of praying in the Spirit. Okay? That's the whole point. It's not a sideshow. It's not to make Christian freaks. It is for the Holy Spirit to bring about the will of God in this earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Right here again, he teaches us to pray for the things we need. Give us this day our daily bread. I even heard one person go as far as to teach, and I actually kind of think he might have been on something. I mean, not actually been on something. He was on to something. But anyhow, he said that when we pray and we thank God in the morning for our food, that is all that is required. That we've made praying, blessing our food, a religious thing to catch the attention of all kinds of people. You thanked God for your food in the morning, didn't you? So you any less thankful 4 hours later? Did you thank him for the Twinkie you ate in between? Or the box of Twinkies, whatever it happened to be? I don't know about you, but I don't think they're the same. They're just not right. And they're a lot smaller. But anyhow, lest I digress on the Twinkies. And ho-hos. Am I getting you hungry? Give us this day our daily bread. Pray for the things you need. Father, I have need of this bill to be paid. Now, I'm going to state this. I'm going to back this up with some things. Father, I need some money. I need a new house. I need new clothes. I need a new car. Whatever you're praying for. If you're a lazy person, you have no rights to ask God for anything like that. Did I say that so that everybody understands? God gave Adam a job first. Then he gave him a girl. Bible says if you do not work, you don't deserve to eat. That is scripture. That's not the spirit that is in the world today. I'm not saying we can't help people. Don't get me wrong. We've created a society now that says I'm entitled because of what my ancestors went through. Seriously? My ancestors are Scottish and Irish. Should I go sue the Kingdom of Great Britain? There's a reason my grandfather left Scotland. There's a reason why they left Ireland. And it was because of the British Empire. But they didn't come back and say, well, we need to sue you because of how you treated us. I'll be honest with you, watching Braveheart really infuriated me. So I've had to curl that down. It's like, because that stuff went on. And I didn't even know we were Scottish at that point. But you see, so many people are praying, God, give me $1 million and I'll honor you with it and I'll do this and I'll do that. Really? You won't pay your tithe. You won't pay your taxes. You don't pay your bills. I knew a man one time who decided that his money he worked every month for was his and God was responsible for paying his bills. Quit paying his bills. Mortgage, electric, all of it. You want to know what happens? He lost it all. His family blew apart. You quit honoring God. I honor God with my tithes. And then I pay my bills. That's how I do it. First things first. Would I like to have $1 million? Oh, I'm thinking a few things I could do with $1 million. But let me ask you a question. Well, I'll tell you this. I know of a guy years ago. He played the Powerball and he won like $200 million. And then by the time he settled out, it was only like $100 million. He went to his church and he said, I don't think you can handle the tithe. You don't deserve the whole tithe. I will give you a portion of it. But only after you spend thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars to have this particular company come in and make sure your books are squared. By the way, that company is a fear-mongering company. I went and sat through one of their things. All they want to do is put fear in people and control them. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not a big person on being controlled. Well, time went on. I heard a report that he'd been mugged. He'd been robbed and beaten and mugged by two strippers. They took $250,000 in cash he had in his pickup truck. Out in the valley in West Virginia. You want to know what $100 million did to him? It only illuminated what was truly inside his heart. He wanted to control the church. And he wanted to do what he wanted to do. So let me ask you this. You're praying for $1 million. What are you really going to do with it? By the way, $1 million will go a lot faster than you think today. Everybody says, oh, if I had $1 million, I'd just be happy as can be. Really? You do know the government's going to take about 51% of that in taxes. By the way, I heard a statement one time years and years ago. It said when a country gets to where they're paying 51% in taxes, they are communist. Once you add up all the taxes you're paying, then you tell me what number you come up with. Sales tax, property tax, all of it together, we're over 50%. Just saying. I have no problems with programs and things of that we're helping people. I know my property taxes are supposed to help fix the roads. But judging by the pothole dodging we do every day right now, yeah, somebody posted a picture of his little Chevy stuck down halfway down in a thing and said Morrow County pothole roads. I can tell you about that. Had my truck bounce sideways on a couple of them. Give us this day our daily bread. So we are to pray for the things we need every day. And forgive us our debts. You can pray for forgiveness of the things you've done wrong. Not that God has to at that point forgive you. He's already forgiven you. You do understand that. What Jesus did on the cross forgave all sins for all time. That part is for us to receive it. But Jesus stipulates that with something, and I've heard people try to teach contrary, and I'm sorry, I'm going to go with the words in red. As we forgive those who have sinned against us. As we forgive those who are indebted to us. You don't want to forgive somebody? Jesus talks about the parable of the unforgiving servant. And I'm sorry, I don't care if it was before the new covenant was ratified and all that stuff. God is God and he changes not. So what Jesus was teaching, if I can't apply it to my life today, why am I reading it? So obviously, he wanted me to live by it, to forgive people when they've wronged me. And how many of us have learned, it should be every hand in here, That's easier said than done, isn't it? You see that person, you just kind of want to rip their head off and play basketball or soccer with it, maybe. You know, I don't know. Last week, I've had two dreams of somebody who really done me wrong this year. I mean, big time. And in both dreams, I hugged them. I've forgiven them. Now, having said that, I know when a dog bites me, not to stick my hand back in its face. You stay at the end of its chain. When a dog bites, you don't go back and see if it's going to do it again. As we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus is now telling us to pray for our spiritual condition, to pray for continued growth, because we know God is not going to tempt us. But Father, I know things are going to come my way. Help me to stand against it. I don't care what your temptation is. You know, so many times we only focus on sexual sins or things like that. Help me not to gossip, Lord. Help me not to overeat. You know, years ago, man, I was telling the boys, I said, man, I used to love the Golden Corral. I'd go to the Golden Corral and I could put food away. You know, I was about 125 pounds. I could go up 6, 7, 8 times. Full plates. And I could eat and eat and eat and eat. Now, I usually had to waddle out. But then God started dealing with me. Just because I could do that, and trust me, I can't do that anymore, I shouldn't do that. I had reached full on plate number one. But I always told Angela, I'm getting my money's worth. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I got my $5 worth, because that's what it was 20-some years ago. I got my $5 worth on plate one because it was heaping. But today I've learned, okay, I may have paid to get in, paid to eat this food, but just because they got crab legs up on the thing doesn't mean I got to sit there and gorge. I love the sign out in front of a Chinese restaurant buffet that says, all you can eat, no mean, you stay 4 hours. You eat, you go home. And that's how it's written. You eat and you go home. But I have literally seen people sit there for hours and hours and hours gorging themselves. That's just undisciplined. And gluttony, greed, when it boils down, there's lots of things. But when we ask God to lead us not into temptation, we need to know ourselves. Right there's the thing. We don't want to rightly judge ourselves. Oh, Lord. You know, I'm a good person. God might say, you know what? How about this? I know it's not listed as a sin in what you've been taught. But I also taught you that if you know to do right and you don't do it, then it's a sin. So we're to pray for our spiritual growth. Father, help me to love you more. Show yourself, reveal yourself to me. 20-some years ago when laying on a beach, I told God, God, I don't want to know you through a preacher. I don't want to know you through my wife, through my parents. I want to know you personally. And I'm here to tell you today, I'm still getting to know God. And I've learned how gracious, how loving. I'm not a sinner in the hands of an angry God. I'm his child in the hands of a loving father who does not want to see me separated from him. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Again, we're to acknowledge His supremacy. I'll be honest with you, sometimes when we get to praying, we get to be a little cocky. Don't we? Well, I commanded that thing out, and it's going to do this, it's going to do that, and we're going to cast out demons. I'd love to see somebody actually get hold of a real demon. So many people running, you got a demon, we're going to cast out that demon. I know a lady, she's a woman now. She had a real demon. And I'm going to put it this way. There isn't a cinematographer, one of those guys, cameraman, director, producer, anybody who would have stayed in that room. Because she had two men, one on each arm, and I know for the fact the one was 350 pushing 400 pounds, and the other was pushing 3. She was lifting them up with each arm. Is there any men in here who can bench press 600-700 pounds? This girl did. She was throwing them around like they were rag dolls. They thought they could control her. They call her church. You know what they did? They showed up with maple leaves. We're going to cast out a demon using witchcraft. Jesus said, just tell them to leave. But you see, so many people today are teaching that everything's got a demon attached to it. My car blowing up or whatever, the fact that I walked out and I had two bald or flat front tires had nothing to do with a demon. It had everything to do with the fact I ran my tires bald and didn't change them. But there are people, oh, the devil hates me. Of course he hates you. He's just banking on the fact you're too cheap and lazy to buy new tires. So he could get the glory for it. I think so many people give the devil more glory for things that our stupidity does than what he actually does. The devil probably went on vacation years ago. But we keep blaming everything on him. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes it's us. It's our flesh. That's our biggest enemy. I'm not saying the devil's not real. I'm not saying demons aren't real. They are real, but not every sickness is attached to a demon. Not everything that happens, not every attitude. Sometimes there are spirits. Sometimes that crankiness is attached to something else. Maybe it's hurt. Maybe it's physical pain. As Angela said, there's a reason why. Help us to see why people are the way they are. Now, Matthew 21. Flip over there. Let's go to verse 21. And so Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and you do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now again, our prayers should always be seasoned with your will, not mine. Because guess what happens? If you throw a mountain into the sea, there's an island somewhere that their innocent people are probably going to drown because you just created a tsunami. Well, I didn't want to walk around it. God's will never involves people having to die. Never. They don't have to. They do. But they don't have to. So in other words, if something... Father, you know, doggone it, these people are obstructing me. These people are stopping what you want done. Remove them. We'll say city council. I don't know. I don't have any problems with them. This city council, they're stopping me from doing this. You need to remove them. 6 months goes by. Month number 7. They discover something that would have devastated your ministry, would have bankrupted your ministry. had you gone forth with that? And we thought for sure that it was the will of God to do that. We need to pray the will of God. Jesus asked God for something when he was in the garden. He said, "Father, if it's at all possible, let this cup pass from me." It was possible, was it not? All God had to say was, "It's done." But he seasoned it with, "But not my will, Lord, your will be done." And when he set that in place, he went and he died on the cross. And from that point on, we can be saved. But had he not, all mankind was doomed, because there was no more sacrifice. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can think the world is such an evil, evil, evil place. Keep in mind, God has not destroyed it by fire or water yet, which he said he'd never do it with water again. So fire is his next option, and we're still here. So it's not nearly as bad as it was in the days of Noah. So just keep that in mind when you start thinking, "Oh, this world is so awful." We still aren't as bad as it was when Noah was preaching. But he said, "Whatever things you ask, if you do not doubt." This is why I tell you, if you do not have the faith to believe for a healing, I will pray for you. But if your faith is not 100% there, go to a doctor. It's not sinful. I've heard that message too. There comes a point, you know, when Angela was giving birth to Joshua, you know, man, our first baby, we're going to have him at home, midwife is there, all this, you know, it's all, you know, hallelujah, family's there, everybody, a little weird for me there, everybody else was in the room, all the women, and anyhow, but when that midwife said, "Your water hasn't broke yet. We've got to break your water." So she broke the water. And she said, "We're good unless it comes out discolored." Discolored it was. It was a little after 1 a.m. She was really starting to have contractions. He was wanting to come, and she's like, "I can't tell if that's his head or his butt." So he's always been my little butthead. He knew what was coming in this world. He's like, "I ain't sticking my head out there first." And so she said, "I still can't tell. What do you want to do?" And I said, "I don't know. I knew where my faith was. My faith was we're going to have a baby at home and everything's going to be fine." Finally, I said, "You know what? This is my baby you're talking about." So let's get to the hospital. There's no question about lack of faith. "Oh, you have little faith." Are you kidding me? I believed in faith when the child was first conceived. Because there were issues when he was first conceived in the very beginning. And I've had to believe in faith ever since he was born. Trust me. He was just the bulldozer for preparing me for the next two. But whatever you ask God in faith, believe. And if you cannot believe, please have the maturity of the father who came to Jesus with the son who had the palsy. And he said, "Lord, help my unbelief." You know, Jesus didn't condemn that man. But I've heard preachers condemn people for it. And it's bad because it's prideful and arrogant. I was watching Perry Stone last night. Or was it Sid Roth? One of the two. And they were above and below each other on things. So I just kind of, see, I told you, short attention. You get a lull on things, I'm changing channels. And so anyhow, I watched it, and the Apostle Paul warned us in the end times that perilous times would come. And he started stating all the things that men would become. Lovers of self. He said that literally means affectionate, kissing. We love ourselves. We have become a society in the world that loves ourselves. And Christians are no different. We use messages to control people. God says this. Okay, now let's go over here, preacher. This is actually what God says. Why are you twisting it? Well, we got to keep the sheep in line. That ain't my job. My job is to tell you what the word is saying. My job is to help you, pray with you. My job is not to walk your faith. You want to live like a heathen on the other side of those doors? That's your call. But when we stand before God Almighty, you ain't going to be able to stand there and say, you know, he didn't tell us. He didn't tell us it was a personal responsibility, that I was personally responsible for my own faith, not him. So you've been told. John chapter 14. So if you've never been told, you've been told. There are days my Bible just opens right up, and days every page has to be turned. 14, 12 through 14. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You want to know why we pray in Jesus' name? Now I'm going to stipulate this. I'm going to say this. I don't pray in your Son's name. I don't pray in your name. Because one, Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. He came to use his name to bring glory to God. So here's the stipulation on some of those things. Again, he's not, no matter what you ask, he's not going to do anything that's going to bring God shame. He will do things that bring him glory. Years ago, I remember hearing a preacher talking about prayer, and he said, at that point, he said, I won't pray for unspoken requests. You come to me, be man enough to tell me. And I'll tell you why. And I don't remember if it was him or it was somebody he knew. I think it was him, wasn't it? You remember who I'm talking about. He said, I found out their unspoken request was that my wife would die so that I could marry them. Seriously. That was their unspoken request. So if you come to me with an unspoken request, yeah, just so you know, I'm praying in the Spirit, and that's that. I will not even ask God to move, especially if you want me to pray right then and there. You're going to tell me what I'm praying for, because I've asked God for things and they've happened. She's not dying and I ain't marrying you. That's all there is to it. But you see, we become goofy that way. God's not going to do anything that's going to bring him shame. But we ask in Jesus' name. There's a reason we use the name of Jesus. I realize that it is the, people call it the heathenized name of Yeshua. If you want to pray Yeshua, go for it. Just so you know, in English, that's Joshua. So you might give him a little bit of a big head back there. But there's a reason we ask in Jesus' name, because now we can boldly approach the throne of grace through the name of Jesus. And because of that, we can go in and say, hey, pastor said I could use this saw. I have his authority. Otherwise, you step in my shop without my permission, You can ask the boys and Angela the other day. I was upstairs working in their room, and I look out, and it was before the time changed, so it was dark. It had just gotten dark, and I look out, and there's lights behind my barn. All my family's in the house. And I was like, oh, really? I thought there was a four-wheeler back there, and somebody was just helping themselves out, unloading my stuff out the back of the barn, which they'd had come to the front anyhow. But I went out. On the way by, grabbed my 9mm, loaded it, and walked right on out to the barn. Why? I had the authority. And you'd better be able to run 17 shots. Now, I'm not going to shoot somebody just for taking my stuff, because one, that is illegal. They got to threaten you first. But I'm not going to do anything stupid. Somebody pointing a gun at me. Right? You see, and it turned out, by the way, Jesse just forgot to turn off lights. I got all wound up for nothing. But you see, God says if you ask in the name of Jesus and you believe, you're needing a car, you need a spouse, you need this. One, spouse, there's things that's got to be in line. You got to be able to care for her. She has to be number two in your life. There can be nothing else in front of her. And that doesn't mean you treat her like number two. Those of you who know puns, you treat her like she's the top of the, she's the cream of the crop. You should. I ain't saying we always do. I'm sorry. But God should be number one in your life. Okay? So many people are asking for things they aren't ready for. I kept asking God for years and years for a Mustang. Lord, I want a Mustang. I want a Mustang. I wanted a Mustang. Well, my sister, for as long as I've been alive, my dad had a 66 with a 289 high performance when I was little. All I ever heard was stories about it. I vaguely really can't remember it. I was alive, but. But you see, I got one years later. And the reason I got one is I grew up. I still got a driver's license. God's not going to give you $1 million if you're just going to go out and spend it on whores and things that he said, I thought you said you were going to give the church this much. You didn't even honor the church with your tithe. As a matter of fact, you went and said they didn't deserve the tithe. That's not our call. Do you realize that? That is not our call. That is God's call. And a ministry that is not doing what it's supposed to do will die. That's all there is to it. You don't give your money to me, my salary is fixed. Just because a big offering came in this month doesn't mean mine went up any. We need to be financially responsible. We need to pay our bills. God's not going to give you a family if you ain't going to pay for the bills. It's not saying that you might not get tight from time to time. It's saying you don't need to be buying new video game systems when you need to pay your electric bill. That's going to be a hard one for a lot of kids coming up today. They've never been made to pay for anything. I gotta have this. I gotta have that. Yeah, right now. So when we pray, season it with God's will. Throw in some adoration to God. By the way, again, it's not necessarily for him. It's for us. You do understand he has creatures that stand around his throne day and night for all eternity worshiping him. When we come and sing, oh, I know he enjoys it, but it releases something in us. He doesn't get a big head. He doesn't get any stronger sitting on the throne because we love and adore him. He's not like Santa Claus. Just because we don't believe, Christmas spirit's not going to be down. So my sled's not going to fly. But we need to ask in the name of Jesus. Paul put it this way, there is no other name greater. See, if I had walked out there into my barn and there had been somebody in there and I'd have said, stop, and pointing my finger at him, see, this is in the name of art, pointing my finger, this deadly weapon, pointing my finger at him and saying, stop, in the name of art, they're going to laugh. Might get my butt kicked if I got the right person. However, when you pull out and say, stop in the name of Mr. Colt or Mr. Smith and Wesson, they pay attention, do they not? Mr. Taurus? The point being, with the authority, that's why we always heard it on TV, did we not, as kids? Stop in the name of the law! You are supposed to stop. Obviously, the name of the law is not working today. People disrespect the authority. That's a whole other can of worms there. But our prayer life, folks, I want to tell you, you can pray for the things you need to be believing for. Pray for others. Don't spend every waking minute of your prayer time, oh, Lord, I need an F-350, twin turbo, supercharged. I'm not picking on these guys that got diesels or F-350s for that matter. I'm just saying, when we can't afford to pay the insurance on the thing, we don't need it. I know people that have bought things. How many remember, you always heard about the McMansions. You know what I'm talking about? McMansions, the big houses, they all kind of look the same. I read a report one time about people that during the late 90s, early 2000s, went out and built all these things. 4,000 and 5,000 square foot homes. They lived in 2000 and below. But suddenly, credit's cheaper and, you know, things look real good, so we're going to go out and we're going to live in this big house. The bigger the house, the more it costs to heat it. The more light switches you have, the more light bulbs you have. So your electric bill is going to go up. They couldn't afford to put furniture in their homes. Many people just had a few pieces. Other than that, they had boxes. They were not prepared for what they needed. And they ultimately lost them. But I'm here to tell you that if you pray and you ask God for his will, Lord, I need a house. You know what? He says, okay, you know what? You've been good at this. You've paid your bills. You've tithed. You've honored me. I'm going to open a door for you. And you'll be able to afford this. But we say, God, I need a house and I want a mansion. Well, you can drop your pipe dream. If you ain't willing to work for it, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get a dot-com business and become a billionaire. No, you're not. Very, very few people have had that kind of luck. Well, Google and Facebook and all that, there are a few people. How many search engines have started over the years? As the Bible says, a good name is chosen, is rather to be chosen. The right name, honor God with all that you have first. Pray, love his people. I can't tell you any better. That's it. Let's stand. And I'm going to seal it with this. God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care if I'm praying or if you're praying. Sherry asked God for a new car, and God took her to the right car. He didn't care if I prayed for it or if she prayed for it. You as a believer have the right to pray and believe these things. And if you aren't willing to spend the time getting to know the God that you serve, don't waste your time asking. He's not your sugar daddy. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Not just come to him, Papa, 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 you go digging for his wallet. Yeah, I'll give you five. But when your children love you, it don't matter if they just blew a hole in the barn roof. You still love them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we truly do thank you and praise you, Father, that you are a good daddy. Father, your son Jesus taught us that you are good. And that if we would ask, you're not going to give us bad things. But Lord, we also know we have to come to you in your will. Father, whether this car is the right car, whether this house is the right house, whether this job is the right job, Father, we have to trust you and go with your will. So, Father, I pray for each and every one of us that you help us to follow your will, to seek you first in all of these things. Lord, I know life gets ahead sometimes, but help us to rein it back and keep you at number one in our lives. And, Father, now I bless your people. Lord God, move mightily before them. Father, when the enemy comes in against them, raise that standard up and drive him away. Father, we thank you, we praise you for all your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.